We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast. We're trusting that the Lord will make our broadcast service a real blessing to you today. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we're trusting that you'll stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. We are opening our broadcast service today with a male quartet singing for us, His Truth is Marching On.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on.
Marching on, glory. Hallelujah, while God is marching on.
Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service today, and we're certainly thankful for each one in our congregation. And we are praying that you'll be able to use this broadcast to make it a blessing, an encouragement to precious souls. If there be any listening who do not know thee, may they be persuaded by your word and by your spirit to turn to thee with all their heart. So take this broadcast, make it a blessing to this precious people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share the gospel with you. And you know, Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And this is a part of the truth of the gospel that needs to be spread throughout the world. For there is great need of souls being saved from a life of sin, knowing God and living a righteous and a holy life, even as His Word teaches us to. Our subject for this broadcast, Amos, a special man for a difficult task. And our text of scripture is a portion of Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, where we read these words, "Prepare to meet thy God." Amos prophesied the last part of the reign of Jeroboam too, about 760, 750 B.C., and this was about 25 years before the northern kingdom was carried into captivity. Israel was enjoying material prosperity, and to the people, things never looked better. The future looked bright, but Amos saw a very different picture. Now, the man Amos was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. He lived some short distance below Bethlehem in Judah, and he was sent by God to the northern kingdom of Israel. This, of course, was after the kingdom was divided. Solomon died, and the kingdom was divided. And we had the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And so Amos was a citizen of the little kingdom of Judah, but God sent him north to prophesy in the land of Israel to the people there. Amos was a man with a burden to bear. Yes, he was a man with a burden to bear, a burden of responsibility, also the burden of rejection and ridicule. The fact that he would be considered an outsider or an alien to Israel did not make his cause any easier or his message any more acceptable. So Amos was a man with a burdened heart, and he had a real burden for the people of Israel. Although they seemed to be prospering in a material way, yet he saw the lack in regard to moral and spiritual things. The rich were oppressing the poor, and they were doing things that were displeasing to Almighty God. Now, the difficulty that Amos faced, and he certainly faced a number of difficulties. The people were enjoying their material prosperity, but they did not seem aware or did not care about the moral decline and the corruption. And I might say we have somewhat the same condition in our nation and world today, at least in parts of the world today. Material prosperity is the thing that people are so interested in and so concerned about, and the moral and spiritual state seems to be of little or no concern to many people. And so it was in the little nation of Israel when Amos was sent there by God to deliver to them a warning message. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Forasmuch, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stones, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. So we read in Amos chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. And this was not a popular message to Israel. It was not the kind of a message they wanted to hear, but it was the message that they needed to hear. And not only did they need to hear it, but they needed to heed it. Now, this does not mean they didn't have religion. Let me repeat that. The fact that they were of this state in moral corruption and seeking only the material did not mean that they did not have religion. Notice what Amos says, as recorded in Amos 5, 21 and 22. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace or thank offerings of your fat beasts. Now, of course, this was the Lord speaking to Israel through the prophet Amos. But, of course, Amos had to bear the brunt of their displeasure. But notice what the Lord said here to them. Even though they were prospering in a material way, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace or the thank offerings of your fat beasts. Now, why not? Why would not God accept it? Because their heart was not really in it. God does not want a worship which is a meaningless ritual. I say God is not interested in meaningless rituals, which is again what we have in a lot of parts of the religious world today. Just rituals. God is not seeking for fatted calves are for material things. He's looking for a people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And Amos saw and knew that this people were having their religious forms, but they were seeking after the material, and they were not really and truly worshiping God. Therefore, the judgment of God was to be put upon them. Amos uses some symbolical language here to endeavor to convey to the Israelites the message that God had laid upon his heart. We turn now to the book of Amos chapter 7 and read verses 7 and 8. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. Now, any carpenter knows what a plumb line is and what a plumb line is for. But here, I want us to understand that God was speaking not of a literal plumb line, and neither was he speaking about a literal wall. Yes, Amos saw a wall built by a plumb line, and you know that the wall was straight if it was built with a plumb line. And he said the Lord was standing there on that wall that was built with a plumb line, and he had a plumb line in his hand. And Amos says the Lord said he was going to put this plumb line in the midst of his people Israel. So what Amos is really talking about is the Word of God. Yes, God's Word is a plumb line. And whenever a person builds according to the Word of God, they're going to build a straight wall. They're going to build upon a firm foundation. But Israel was not building on a firm foundation, and they were not building a straight wall. They were living after the lust of the flesh while professing religion. And God said through the prophet Amos, I'm going to put this plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. In other words, I'm going to judge them by the Word of God, the Word that I have given them. So a wall built with a plumb line will be straight, and a life that is built by a plumb line, or in other words, by the Word of God, will be a life that will be able to stand the storms of life. You remember the parable that Jesus gave us of the two men, one was wise and one was foolish? Well, one built with a plumb line. He built his house upon a rock. He built his house upon a firm foundation. And when the storms of life came, that house stood. But the house that was built on the sand, the one that was foolish, built a house that fell when the storms of life came. Now, Amos also gives us another picture, and we read this time from Amos chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Thus hath the Lord showed, or the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more, and the songs of the temple shall be hallowings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land fail. Say, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balance by itself. Now, what is Amos talking about here? He's talking about the people wanting the Sabbath to hurry up and be over, get over with, so that they could go back to their material selling and gaining of material possessions. What he saw, what Amos saw, was a basket of summer fruit, but in reality, the fruit was rotten. Yes, the fruit was rotten, because it was speaking of the people of Israel and their spiritual state. When will the new moon be over? They were supposed to have a certain celebration every new moon, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small. In other words, the things of God were small and insignificant and unimportant, and the shekel great. In other words, the material things are of greater importance, are of greater necessity as far as we are concerned. And that was the state of Israel, and Amos was pointing this out to them, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuge of the wheat. That's verse 6 of chapter 8. So we see here a people who were putting such great stress and great emphasis upon the material to the neglect of the spiritual. Now, the judgment was to be severe that God was going to pour out on the nation of Israel, and it would be unchangeable. Notice verses 11 and 12 of chapter 3. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd delivers out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria. Now let us also notice chapter 4 and verses 6 through 12. Notice these verses from chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. And I also have given you deadness of teeth, or cleanness of teeth, in your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One place was rained upon, and the pieces whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blastings and with mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilent after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. This, I say, was Amos prophesying approximately 25 years before the Assyrian army came up and besieged Samaria. And we know that they were indeed in great distress. Remember the story of the woman that cried up to the king on the wall and wanted the king's help? And what was her message? We two women agreed we would kill and eat my child today, and then after we had eaten my child, she would kill hers, and we would share hers together, but we ate mine, but she is gone and hid hers. Yes, that's how distressful it became in Samaria, because they would not listen to the prophet Amos. To the contrary, even the priest turned against him and told him to go on back down to Judah, and there he could prophesy. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, opposed Amos. He opposed Amos's message from God, and he told him, in effect, we don't want you here. Go on back down to Judah. Amos's prophecy was fulfilled. Not only does biblical history tell us this, but religious history as well. The message of Amos transcends time and still has clear and important lessons that our generation and our nation needs to heed today. Repentance and salvation is an individual matter, quite true, but our nation and our world will become more righteous only as individuals turn to God. It cannot be done by the legislature in Washington or in state capitals, nor by kings and queens of other nations. No, repentance and salvation is an individual matter, and if we're going to see our nation become a righteous nation, it will be because individuals turn away from their sins and turn to God with all of their heart. Yes, there is a great need of repentance in our nation and world today. There's a great need of seeking Almighty God, for righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Prepare to meet thy God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today, and may good be accomplished. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.
Be strong and valiant for the truth. Resist the tempted luring power. Shun all the avenues of sin. And trust in God each day and night. Strong and firmly trust in God through every care. Be true and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed. Cast not away the arm of strength to yield unto the tempting throne. For God is always strong and true to help and keep us from the wrong. Be strong and firmly trust in God through every care. Be true and fearless stand. And with his grace and strength.